This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Today, we are kicking off a spanking new fortnightly series called Family Time, done in collaboration with the wonderful folks from Happy Go KL. So, Happy Go KL is an online site for families. All the contributors there are parents themselves, and you can find listings of fun events, activities in and around Kuala Lumpur for you, for the family. And there's also things like news, travel tips for the holidays, even articles on parenting, you know, different parenting styles and things like that. And all the contributors are parents themselves who have personally experienced what they are writing about. So very good first-hand information there. And with the school holidays starting this weekend, we are kicking off this week's episode with a travel theme show. And joining me to share her experiences from traveling to Luang Prabang in Laos with her family is Anna Crossdale, also from Happy Go KL. Welcome, Anna. I think we all know that traveling with children is a scary, scary thought for any parent. And what do you usually take into account before you sort of decide on your next destination?
Generally, I search the internet and I will look for things that will appeal to the children, because stuff that I would maybe like to do with my friends, maybe not the same that will appeal to a 6 and 8 year old. I'm also looking for something that's different. So we've already got great weather in Malaysia. I don't need to travel for that. So I really want to come back with an experience. And that's the reason that we chose to go to Luang Prabang.
Okay, and you went, I think it was late last year.
Yes, we went in the October time. So it was on the border of their rainy season. Mm-hmm. So we were lucky that we didn't get any rain. But having said that, it was a few degrees cooler, so sightseeing was much more pleasant.
Okay, and I guess, you know, when you were planning, when you did decide on Luang Prabang, you know, did you kind of figure out how many days would be ideal to spend there?
The only way you can get there is AirAsia, and they don't fly every day.
Okay.
So that kind of had an impact. And I'd heard from friends that had been before that it's not a huge place, so you don't need an enormous amount of time. But we were there for about 3 days, and that was just about right.
Okay. And I think with that limited flight options, that also kind of makes it a little less accessible, I suppose, and maybe less people as a result as well.
Yeah, maybe. And also because I think it's quite a new flight. Maybe that's why people haven't been before. But it is worth doing. It is worth it. And it's only 3 hours, which in the grand scheme of things, isn't too bad, as long as your children will sit down for 3 hours on the plane.
If you're very lucky, if you get children like that. Okay, so limited flight options, but there is an AirAsia flight on certain days. What about things like visas and currency, you know?
So you have to get, or you can get a visa on arrival. So there's different prices for different people. We're from the UK, so ours was about $35, so about 130 ringgit. So you do need to factor that in, because if there's lots of you going, it can add up to the price. But it was simple to get there. So you landed and you got your visa.
Okay, so now you're in Luang Prabang.
Yeah.
And how did you move about when you were there?
That again was really easy. So there was tuk-tuks there. That is possibly why I would recommend that your children are a little bit older when you went. So you do need to rely on them to hold on to the open-backed vehicle. You know, there's no car seat clicking in here or booster seats available. So they need to be comfortable with that. But actually, for my children, that was what they loved. Mm-hmm. So normally a 50-minute journey when you're on holiday, they're like, oh, God. Oh. But it was just wonderful. You looked at the side of the tuk-tuk, you could see local children going to school, people cooking their meals on open fires, water buffaloes.
Oh,
so it really went really quickly, and it was wonderful. It was really lovely.
Okay, and easily accessible. Tuk-tuks, I'm
absolutely
guessing, everywhere?
Yeah, no problem. The hotel will call you on. You can get one on the street. There's, again, no problem. Or bicycles. So if your children are older, and you trust them on the roads, there aren't any helmets available, so you would need to take your own. But most of the hotels have them, and I saw lots of people using those and cycling around and just taking in the general feel.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, are there like car rentals and those sorts of things available or readily available at least?
We didn't look into car rental because it's quite a small place. And to be honest, it's probably easier to let somebody who knows the roads take the way, because some of them are a little bit rugged. Mm-hmm. I did feel it when we arrived 50 minutes later and you've been bouncing up and down on the suspension, and they know where the potholes are. They, you know, so I don't know if you can hire a car, but I don't think you need to. It's so easy to get to tuk-tuks.
Okay. And when you were choosing the accommodation, that, and I suppose you would need to choose family-friendly sorts of accommodation.
Yeah.
Was there a lot of that available?
Well, it's a funny place in that it appeals to a lot of backpackers. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of accommodation on the affordable end, the cheaper end, but that's not necessarily what you want when you go with your family. So, for example, we wanted somewhere with a pool so that we could relax. But then you have to go a little bit further out of the centre. But there is a huge range available for everyone. I think I did an article about it on Happy Go KL, and there are some mentions of suggestions for places that people have stayed and liked. So that's worth looking at.
Okay. So now we're here, we're settled, the kids are in, everyone's had a swim. Where did you go? What are the top attractions?
Oh, right. Okay. Well, for some people, the top attractions are the 33 temples that have made it a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Yep. For my family, we're quite happy to just walk past, admire them, maybe not visit them. Okay. They were more interested in going on the long boats along the river. So you could, we took a journey that was about 40 minutes on a tuk-tuk, and we went to see the Tad Sai, I think I've said that okay, waterfall. And that was a lovely little longboat ride, and there was we saw some elephants bathing there, and that was great. The more impressive waterfall, though, I have to say, is the Kwangsi waterfall, and that's about 50 minutes away, about 130 ringgits in a tuk-tuk. And that has a bear sanctuary next to it as well. But that one is possibly one of the best waterfalls I've seen. Mm-hmm. Now, when we went in October, it was quite a brown colour. It was still impressive. But I think if you go when it's not rainy season, it's a beautiful blue.
Oh, wow.
And people will go in and bathe. But it was still, it was impressive. So that was a definite for me. Mm-hmm. If you only get time to do one waterfall, do that one.
Is there like hiking available at the waterfalls as well?
People were walking further up. I say we didn't because it was quite slippy. We had the two children that were complaining enough to get to the first level, never mind any further. So I wasn't going to push my luck there. But I guess if you'd gone as a backpacker or...
maybe with teenagers.
Or teenagers, absolutely. Yeah. Because as I say, the temperature was cooler. Yeah. So you weren't struggling as much as you would be with humidity, et cetera. So those were fantastic, but they were slightly out of town.
Okay.
If you were staying in town, there was a night market that was really nice. And, of course, you usually have the bamboo bowls, where if you're Thailand or wherever you go. But this had a lot of local handicrafts.
Okay.
So it was really nice for me anyway. I enjoyed it. The children were more interested in the pancakes available.
So there's lots of street food and things for them.
Yeah, there's street food. There's also, because it is an old colony, so the French were there, it has reminiscent bakeries, and the food is wonderful. The buildings are beautiful. So you can just walk through there where the night market is and just take that in. It's really lovely.
Mm-hmm. And where else did you visit?
One of the things I found before, it was there was a restaurant called Diane Saba, and the only way to get to that was either a bamboo bridge, which again my kids loved.
Any element of danger, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, hooray! And or a longboat, depending. So that's pretty cool when you can only get to a restaurant via boat or bamboo bridge. We went twice, in fact, and we were only there 3 days. And they had lots of board games, and they were playing chess by the river. And it's just that lovely laid-back feel that you get of Laos. It was really lovely. Suppose I can't not talk about the almsgiving ceremony. So that is what a lot of people go for.
Yeah.
As you walk around the town, I say there's 33 temples. There's monks walking around. It's just really lovely. But you have to be up at sunrise to do the almsgiving ceremony. And for me, with two small children, again, that didn't happen. But people I know that have stayed in the centre of town have done it and said it's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely, if you are going, if your children are older, it's a really nice thing to do. That is something that you will see there and maybe not in so many other places.
Okay. And I guess it's safe to sort of like make your base in the city centre area.
Yeah, and yeah. Then... And it's a small town, okay. You know, so really it's the only place I've been where I just kept seeing the same people from the flight again and again. They just kept popping up. It's such a small place. But even given that it's a small place, I still found that there was enough to do mm-hmm. for those 3 days. You'd think, oh, maybe you get bored. But if you did a couple of trips and went out in the evening for food along the main street, it was enough. It was lovely.
Okay. And just going on food as well, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, for some children, you know, the more fussy ones, for mm-hmm. example, was that a problem for you at all, you know, finding stuff for your kids to eat?
Well, there's always the fallback of white rice, isn't there? if nothing else, or if they'll eat nothing else. But I have to say the food was delicious and they did eat the local food. But if you weren't entirely comfortable with kind of noodles and that kind of thing, then there's the bakeries. There were the French bakeries for lunch. So everyone was happy.
Okay. And there was no sort of element of maybe made you feel unsafe or anything like that?
No, absolutely. I say it's quite a spiritual town. It's really lovely. I felt super safe. Mm-hmm. I would say maybe because my kids can walk without a buggy, that was easier. I'm not sure I would want to negotiate kind of bumpy streets with a buggy, but I absolutely felt safe. There was no question.
So maybe for the parents with the younger kids, they would need to bring their buggy. Were there places you saw that, you know, rented buggies or the hotels?
Yeah, you would need them, but I mean, you may end up carrying the child more than to. So again, because of that, because of the tuk-tuks, although taxis were available, so you could take younger children, I think it is your child needs to be at least 4 or 5 to get the most out of the visit.
Okay, all right. So safety. And what about communication, your language and things
easy.
Like that?
English? I don't remember finding it difficult. The people are so lovely, so helpful. So really not a problem. Communication, not a problem.
Okay, and then I guess the litmus test, what did the kids say after all of it?
Oh, they loved it. So we've lived in China, we've done Thailand, we've been to quite a few places. But for them and for us, this was one of the more memorable ones because of the tuk-tuk rides along the bumpy roads, because of the long boat rides, because of the bamboo bridges. And so many photo opportunities for a parent. You're like, get on the bridge, go and stand on the bridge. We'll have one there. We'll have the. That one for me was a very memorable holiday.
Okay. And I guess there's also like cultural things to do as well. Were there like performances? Maybe your kids, you didn't go with your kids this time,
I think because you see the monks and the temples, that's the cultural element.
Sure.
So, I mean, say 33 temples in quite a small space. There's a royal palace there as well, mm-hmm. which is again in the nice compact town, so you can just go and see there. Mm-hmm. So there's absolutely culture and adventure in a small space.
Okay, and you've written about all of your experiences for Happy Go KL in an article for Happy Go KL?
Yeah, I've covered my main points, my recommendations, hotels, what we enjoyed as a family. There's photos there so you can have a look. If you visit Happy Go KL and look for Weekend in Laidback Laos, you'll find the information there.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was Anna Crossdale sharing her experiences of her family-friendly holiday in Luang Prabang in Laos. So there's still some time, you know, for over this next two-week break. There's always a chance to book a flight to Luang Prabang. But if you're not up for travelling and you're still looking for things to occupy the kids with over these next 2 weeks, there's, of course, Hari Raya happening next weekend. So lots of friends and family to visit, you know, lots of activities like that. But there's also a whole bunch of other events happening here in Klang Valley and also, you know, in other states in the peninsula. There's Smurfs Live on Stage happening over at Resorts World in Genting right up till the 25th of June. That's basically the Smurfs coming to life and with their life-size mushroom-shaped forest houses. And that's a 90-minute show for kids. There's also a whole bunch of weekend activities at the Baba Nyonya Heritage House in Melaka. The museum is offering family self-guided tours called Secrets of the House for kids, you know, ideal for kids aged 5 to 12. And also during these next school holidays, on each Saturday and Sunday, there will also be activity stations attractions such as Batu Bo, rice grinder, and an activity room with traditional games. So that's over in Melaka. For things happening in the Klang Valley itself, there's the Book Fest Malaysia happening at the KLCC Convention Centre. This one's something quite close to my heart. Zero Waste Day. We just celebrated World Environment Day on the 5th of June, and the Zero Day wishes to kind of encourage the younger generation to think and act in more sustainable and green ways. And this is targeted at kids aged 9 to 18. That's happening at Frim in Kepong. Another environment-themed one is the family-friendly walk at Rimba Ilmu Botanical Gardens in the University of Malaya. You get to go and check out tropical rainforest plants, find out their uses, their interactive activities for kids. And this is suitable for even younger kids right up from the age of 3 to 7. And that's happening at the University of Malaya. That's it for this week. Join us in 2 weeks' time. And if you'd like to stay updated with all the information and, you know, find out stuff to keep those little ones occupied, that website again is happygokl.com. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.